Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show where the main event is always subject to change. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the sole survivor, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you doing?
Oh boy, Andrew, I'm good to go, man. Wow, a lot of things have changed in the very small amount of time we've had since we last recorded.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I've had a couple glasses of wine,
and oh,
I am ready to do this, man.
That's going to make this amazing.
Yes, it is.
That's fantastic. I wish I also would have had wine. This would have been a totally different type of podcast had I done
Yes,
that.
I think it would help you at least like come to terms with all the changes that have happened in the last like week. Good Lord.
We rarely have multiple episodes released in the same week on our fair podcast, and this week was kind of an exception, and it's been just when we thought I think you started the last episode saying that we were getting back to normalcy in wrestling.
Yes, I did.
And how wrong you were, Tyler.
I was foolish to think that we would be coming back to normalcy after seeing not only what happened on Monday Night Raw but also on SmackDown.
And yeah,
wow.
There's been a lot that's happened that has changed the pay-per-view entirely. Mm-hmm. I think you also in our last episode said how excited you were for AJ versus Brock too.
I know, yes. Oh man. So it's a mixed bag. I was very excited for that match, but at the same time I think I'm equally excited about the replacement. Because
I'm really excited about it, and I'm excited that we haven't had much time to like overthink it.
I'm equally excited, I think.
So this is not one of our normal episodes. This is a pay-per-view preview episode that you've all come to know and love. But we do want to quickly kind of define a word for you.
Yes.
And it's something that is always on the fine print of any WWE show, whether it's a live event, or specifically if it's a live event, or if it's a pay-per-view. And that is card subject to change.
Yes.
And we've really seen that happen this week.
Extremely. Yeah, wow.
Even if they're basically what it means is that even if there are a bunch of advertisements and video packages already made to hype up particular matches, even if we're just 2 or 3 days away from the pay-per-view, that can still change. The match card can always be changed and you don't get your money back is how that goes. But in this case, the changes, I wouldn't call them worse or better, just different and surprising. Is that fair to say?
I think so. It's weird. So you actually pointed out a fact to me that so last year for Survivor Series leading up to the pay-per-view, we had the WWE champion at the time, Jinder Mahal, was scheduled to face the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar. And AJ Styles actually won the WWE Championship the week before. And so that changed that entire match, that entire buildup that they had, which, I mean, granted, I think they only touched on it like for a week or two, maybe at the most, of like Jinder coming out and giving promos about him facing Brock.
Yeah.
So they only touched on it like very briefly, and then they had AJ win the title and now he was going to face Brock. And then they did the exact same thing this year, but completely like unawares to all the viewers. Like it completely went over my head, the idea that this happened last year and now Daniel Bryan is going to get a WWE Championship match a week before Survivor Series yet again to face Brock Lesnar. So it's just
I think they say that insanity, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And I think that we were insane wrestling fans to not see that they could do the same thing.
Absolutely. A year later. 100% agree.
I should also mention really quickly before we get into the preview, and we're going to talk about everything that happened on Raw and SmackDown in this preview. Or not everything that happened. We don't need to go over all 5 hours of television from this week, but we'll talk about at least two things that happened. Before that, I should mention it was a year ago that we were talking about Survivor Series on this show in what was our unofficial first episode. It was our soft launch. So, Tyler, happy soft anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
I don't know what the gift is for the soft anniversary.
We have done it, man. A full year of episodes. This is...
Yeah.
A milestone, I guess we could say. It certainly goes quick. It certainly goes quick. I think we have only about 20 or so episodes.
Is 22.
This is 22, which, I mean, it goes quick, but at the same time, kind of not. So, I mean, it's been a blast. That's all I can say. I can't say enough how much I've enjoyed doing this podcast. So, thank you to. Yeah. Andrew, thank you to you, of course. Thank you to all the listeners. It's been a blast.
I hope you guys stick around with us for more. Mm-hmm. So speaking of more, we are going to hop into our 30-minute or less preview of Survivor Series 2018. And as a refresher for all of you listeners out there, or if you're a new listener, the way that we do our previews, we don't necessarily say who we think is going to win a match or lose a match, but rather we're going to say what the story they are going to tell is, and maybe we'll say like what is the best way to watch the match and enjoy yourself. And we're also going to set a really fancy 30-minute timer on my iPhone. And when that timer goes off, even if we haven't got through all the matches, we're going to end. So it forces us to be to concise, only talk about the big stuff. Concise, yeah. I like that you butted in and said concise when I was trying to say how concise we were and was not being concise about it. And I think that's very impressive.
It works.
Yeah. So this is our own little Iron Man match version of previewing shows. So to give you the quick rundown, this is Survivor Series 2018, one of the four big pay-per-views from WWE. It's going to take place on November 18th, Sunday, at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. Mm-hmm. This is the 32nd event promoted under the Survivor Series chronology.
I was actually having a conversation today with Sarah trying to, like, she had asked about Survivor Series, and she was kind of just like, well, what is it? Like, what's the gimmick behind Survivor Series?
She should listen to our episode from last year where we go over this.
I suggested as such. But so I was like, I was giving her like a kind of a blanket description, and I didn't know the exact time, but I was like, oh yeah, it's one of the big four pay-per-views. It's been going on for 20 plus years, but I had no idea that was 30 plus years. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been going on a long time. Mm-hmm. They've kind of had to change the gimmick of it in recent years, where it's gone from just being teams of people against each other to kind of a brand warfare. Michael Cole has said it, and he'll keep saying it, that it's one of the few, the only time, I think is how he says it, that it's the only time of the year that WWE, Raw, and SmackDown superstars can face each other.
Go head to head.
Yeah, they go head to head.
How untrue that statement is.
They go knuckles to facial bones.
Yes.
And too soon. and that is kind of the gimmick of the pay-per-view now, although the traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series style match is still predominantly a big part of the card this year. Although what everyone's fighting for is like brand supremacy, but
essentially it's bragging loose rights. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rest in peace, bragging rights. So it's kind of a loose thing. Last year on the show, we both kind of suggested that maybe a way to make it more interesting would be to have the winning team of the main event get the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble, since Survivor Series can start the kind of WrestleMania season early. Well, they kind of took our advice, because now the winners of the mix match challenge are going to get the number 30 spots in their Royal Rumbles. Which, so they took our idea and just put it elsewhere.
Put it elsewhere. So I have to interrupt. How do you feel about that necessarily? Because I can clearly deduce the reason for that, but I don't know if I'm necessarily supportive of it.
I like that they're trying something, but I have always kind of looked at the mix match challenge as being in its own universe,
it's a fun thing they do. So for the listeners who aren't too familiar, the mix match challenge is a tournament that they've been doing. This is the second annual one they've done. They began it last year, where they basically have they have intergender tag teams paired up, where they have one male superstar, one female superstar, and they do this kind of tournament to see who is the best team, essentially. And last year it was a big deal because they began airing it on Facebook Live primarily, rather than the USA Network or the WWE Network or something like that. And I thought that it got some good amount of views, I guess you could say, or people interested
in it.
Yeah,
got a lot.
But not as much, I think, as they would have hoped for. And this second year around, it's certainly underperformed in terms of what they had hoped for. Mm-hmm. So I think I 100% believe that this stipulation of the winner of the challenge gets the 30 spots is entirely just to get a few more viewers into the mix match challenge.
I think so. I think that makes sense. But I think maybe that means we're one step away from getting our wish of this being tied into Survivor Series next year.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Survivor Series this year. So that means I'm starting the clock.
Here we go.
It's going. You can't hear it ticking because it's a digital iPhone clock.
Maybe one day we'll get an actual analog clock that ticks and everything.
Yeah, I'll just go get a chess clock and just keep running it. So what match do you want to start with? Is what you think is the most important match on the card?
So I think we have to start with the biggest news of the past week. And this, despite what some people may argue, I think this is 100% Ronda Rousey versus now Charlotte Flair.
Mm-hmm.
This was originally before SmackDown this week was going to be the WWE Raw Women's Champion Ronda Rousey facing against the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion Becky Lynch. But given the angle that they ran on Raw this past Monday, Becky Lynch suffered a legitimate injury. She I think it was a broken nose is what they
broken nose, concussion, and concussion, some broken face bones as well.
Yes, so she took a shoot punch from Nia Jax during the rabble in the ring that legitimately broke her nose, gave her a concussion, everything. So
put
given
blood
their
everywhere.
Yes, blood everywhere, which we'll touch on later as to the effect that gave, but the ultimate results of what came of that is that she broke her nose, she received a concussion. So given their health standards that their doctors hold them to, Becky Lynch is not cleared to wrestle this Sunday at Survivor Series. So she has been replaced, and they had a kind of sort of a ceremony of it on SmackDown where Becky Lynch came to the ring with the majority of the SmackDown women's roster. And she kind of announced who her replacement was going to be. And it ended up being, of course, Charlotte Flair.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough one. I'm not sure how I feel about this. So
can I talk about that segment on SmackDown for a second?
Please.
Actually,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So a lot of people online and on Twitter and places where fans congregate have been comparing
R squared circle.
yeah. They've been comparing Becky's recent run, where she's been kind of a heel who's been cheered. They've been comparing that to the rise in popularity in the late 90s of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Their two characters couldn't be any more different. So a lot of people have a tough time with that comparison. But I think that this angle on SmackDown this week really was the best example of how she's Steve Austin-like, where I loved that angle of her picking Charlotte and picking her because even though they're ex-best friends now, she knew that that was the person who would have the best chance at beating Ronda. And she wasn't happy about it, but she still gave Charlotte like a side hug and talked in her ear and was like, you have to submit her the way I was going to submit her. And it reminded me a lot of the famous angle in the Attitude Era where Stephanie McMahon was going to be Dark Ceremony married off to The Undertaker. And even though Vince McMahon is Steve Austin's biggest adversary, he knows that that is the right thing to do, is to go stop this from happening.
Yes.
It does. And they have like a 1 week truce. And I feel like there are very few characters who can be a heel who realize they need to do a face thing and vice versa. And that is a hard thing to do that we see very rarely. And I think that that is the big, that could be the big beginning of Becky being the biggest like homemade star that they have going forward. But that's hyperbole for me. And you're going to hear some more hyperbole from me later in this, but that's what I thought of that Tuesday segment.
Yeah. And I certainly agree. So the thing, it's one of those weird situations where in professional wrestling, you have to understand that the story that they're trying to tell throughout their segments and their episodes and things like that, again, as to our pseudo word of the day, it's always subject to change. And the Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair are, I would argue, we're still in the middle of a feud, essentially. Becky turned heel on Charlotte, and the two of them had a very heated blood feud, essentially, going on. Becky was the SmackDown Women's Champion. She was defending it from Charlotte. Charlotte was trying to reclaim it from her. And it was still a very heated feud. But given the circumstances of this Survivor Series pay-per-view where we pivot the SmackDown brand against the Raw brand, it's those rare situations where you get to kind of set aside the storylines that you have just going on SmackDown, of course, where Becky Lynch and Charlotte, who had been feuding in this like heated blood feud, you could say, get to set it aside and be like, okay, well, for the good of our brand, for SmackDown, I support you and I need you to be my proxy here and defeat Raw, our common enemy. It's a very interesting thing that you usually only see around like Survivor Series time when you get to have this interbrand warfare.
Yeah, I thought it did provide some depth and stakes to a show that kind of needed it. I mean, this is going to be a fun show to watch from an in-ring match standpoint.
But so, to the match, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. I have to know, how do you feel about this being set up right now at Survivor Series? Also, given the stakes that a match of this caliber had been hyped up before this had been announced, I guess I would preface.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't have many choices right now. I think that they decided to try to strike while the iron is hot. I think they didn't have much choice here. So they decided to run with something that was going to be hot and create some buzz and maybe drive up some viewers for the show, right?
Yeah.
And the worst case scenario is maybe the match isn't that good because they haven't had that much time to prepare. And this is the best. I mean, this is the biggest star that they have on the roster, like,
in actively. Ronda Rousey, yes.
Yeah. Gender, like, not of any gender, like, biggest star they have versus their most successful and protected homegrown female star. And we've talked about that maybe this would be the WrestleMania main event next year.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think it still could be.
That's where I'm conflicted here, is the idea of are they wasting the potential of a Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair match at Survivor Series here out of necessity rather than, like, you know, really being able to capitalize on the hype of this match were it to happen at WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I think because they can rewrite their own history right now, I think that they can position it in a way where they can either bury that this match has happened if they want to, or they can do something screwy at the end of it and like push forward a storyline.
True.
Because you know that Becky's going to have to be introduced back into this at some point. You could certainly work Nia Jax into the into it. There are a lot of people who are big name women who aren't on the card who you can work them in. There's a lot you can do.
So the only two points I have about this match, number one is it's in a weird way, this is kind of a double-edged sword in that on the one side, you have the idea that having Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair now at Survivor Series, it opens the potential to have Becky Lynch elevated to a higher position, say, having when Becky Lynch is healed up, having her face Ronda Rousey at the Royal Rumble or at WrestleMania, which would be a much more high profile match. But it also, it's the other side of that sword being that the high profile match of Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair that we all know that they have been potentially building up to for the since Ronda has debuted. This has been the talk of like the dirt sheets and reporting that like this is a match that they want to have happen. So it's also the idea of like, are they wasting that potential match just because out of trying to improvise due to injury? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is scenario one. And it's, I'm not entirely sure how I feel about it. Like I am excited to see Ronda versus Charlotte. And I'm also very excited to see the potential of Becky Lynch facing Ronda Rousey at a later date at a much more high-profile match, say the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania.
That could become the WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I think Becky 100% deserves to have a WrestleMania match against a high-profile opponent. The second question that I have, and this is a little besides the point, but at the same time, What is the chance you think that Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair main events Survivor Series?
I would put it at 50%.
50%. I'm tempted to agree. I hope so. Honestly, I think they deserve it.
I think it's got to be that or Lesnar versus Bryan.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, I think it'd be a mistake to finish with the Team Raw versus Team SmackDown men 5-on-5 match, but they might do that too. So I guess maybe I'd say like 40%. It's like 40-40-20. Here's one more thing I'll say about this match before we move on from it, because we could spend all 30 minutes on this match, honestly, if we wanted to. So the Monday segment, which is going to go down as like one of Becky Lynch's highlight reel moments because the look of her being bloody and vicious was great, right?
100% agree. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So we've seen all the angles now of the legit punch that Nia Jax throws.
Yes.
I'm not a very hyperbolous person, but I'm going to be very hyperbolous right now. And I'm curious if you agree with me on this or if you think I'm way off base. If I were the WWE bookers, I mean, I'm also not a wrestler. I've never been in a wrestling ring, not for one second. But I know that in a situation where it's like a controlled chaos brawl, that you don't really hit each other because there's so much movement going on that you don't need to because it looks good anyway. You certainly don't hit the person who's the protagonist, the main character in the segment. You certainly don't hit them with the closed fist and a real punch. I know that accidents happen too, but that is a totally avoidable accident. And it's not the first time that Nia Jax has injured someone a week before a pay-per-view where they're scheduled to appear. So what I would do if I had the book is once Becky is cleared to wrestle again, I would book her into a short program with Nia Jax. I would have Becky beat Nia Jax in a squash in roughly like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I would release Nia Jax. Is that too harsh?
So in a way I agree. I would like to preface that so the whole Nia Jax Becky Lynch fiasco that happened on Raw, it's been a very heated topic just in the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Of people accusing Nia of being an unsafe worker, the punch itself being intentional, things like that. So I don't think
it was intentional. I think it was just
reckless.
Yeah.
So I have to come out originally and say that I don't, at no point do I believe that was intentional. I think that in that specific angle, when you have a brawl, including multiple superstars, where Nia is a character where she plays this powerhouse. So she plays the role of this like much, much more stronger than everyone else in the ring. So there's points, of course, where she's going to have multiple people attacking her. Mm-hmm. And I believe 100% that it was purely a matter of that she was at any point when someone was to be attacking her in the ring, it was her job to, give them a punch or whatever, to knock them off and continue her business. So I think this is 100% just a unfortunate accident.
Mm-hmm.
But I think WWE is great at being able to play off of shoot events that happen, whether for better or for worse. And I think it would be certainly a heated feud, a great match to have Becky Lynch face Nia Jax now, given the circumstances of what has happened here. I don't know exactly how I feel about this, because I'm 100% behind Becky Lynch right now in her current run. I think she is literally just transcending like the work that I have, the work that I have seen in a modern day professional wrestler in a very long time. Like, she is doing things that are just truly incredible. And I'm very curious to see how they're going to play this going forward, especially given that like they build up Survivor Series as the one time a year that we get to see SmackDown versus Raw superstars.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you go past Survivor Series and then also have Becky Lynch face Nia Jax SmackDown versus Raw, like, it's, I don't know, it gets a little convoluted, but I'm curious to see how they follow up with this.
Yeah, they're going to have to address her getting her heat back somehow.
Yeah, but at the same time, because on this recent episode of SmackDown, Becky Lynch up until this week has been playing the heel role, which, I mean, given the fan like backlash of being like, no, she's our face, but I think
she has no face now.
Yeah, she played a very face role in this past episode of SmackDown of being the, the defender of SmackDown who is not medically cleared, so she has to find a proxy to do it for her. So it's also a question of like, once she is healed and she is back into in-ring action, like, will they have her retaking up that heel role of hers? Will they have her going all out face?
I think the world's their oyster now. I think they're actually, like, this is unfortunate, yes, but they are in a position where creatively they have a lot of very, like, juicy options, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
Yes.
Again, we could do another 15 minutes on this, but we should move on, because there's one more dream match
that
is on this, potentially. And this is
a big one that we have to talk about.
Yeah. Universal Champion Brock Lesnar versus newly crowned WWE Champion Daniel Bryan.
I have to butt in.
Yeah.
The newly crowned WWE Champion, the American Dragon, Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Yes. I want to take us back to 2015 really quickly and just read this quote from Daniel, who was just come back from a year-long injury at that point. This is right before his second run ends and he has to retire. He was asked who he wanted to wrestle in some interview. And he said, quote, "Brock Lesnar is right now, out of all the WWE superstars currently active, Brock Lesnar is the one that I want. That's the match I want. I think that match would be something different than the WWE universe has ever seen. So yeah, that's the match I'm gunning for." I also remember in that time period him saying stuff after he had to retire about how he was going to change his style specifically for wrestling Brock. And it would be like that he would try to stay in the center of the ring on the ground and realistically like put Brock in a position of weakness or confusion. I hope that that is that he like breaks out that stuff for this match. We have two superstars here who are bigger, larger than life, who we never thought we'd see in a ring together, but they both have serious limitations as performers now. So what kind of story do you think they possibly can tell?
So this is an interesting one. I had said I was genuinely very interested to see Brock versus AJ too. I thought it would be a great match. But I'm genuinely equally interested to see Brock versus Daniel Bryan. It's an interesting match. So the point that you had referenced where Daniel Bryan had said that he wanted to change his in-ring style to more adjust to face Brock. It was actually that was on an episode of the reality series that they have on Total WWE Network, Breaking Bad. No, not Breaking Bad. That's
not Breaking Bad. No, Breaking Ground.
Breaking Ground. Yes. And on that episode, there was a part where they were at the Performance Center, and the Performance Center in Orlando. And Daniel Bryan was there and he was training and he was talking to Sami Zayn about how he had these ideas to adjust his style to face Brock. And it was, again, it was a more ground-based game, things like that. Less, a style that would be more detrimental to himself in terms of, you know, suicide dives and things like that could potentially hurt his head. And so I'm genuinely excited for this match because Daniel Bryan is one of the best. And I think he has genuinely been preparing for this, a potential match against Brock Lesnar, literally since we saw that segment on Breaking Ground back in 2015. So I think he's been looking forward to this match for a very long time. And I think he has a game plan of like how he wants to approach it, how he could tell an amazing story in the ring. And I genuinely hope that Brock will approach it with a mindset of this is Daniel Bryan. Like, this isn't just some guy they're sending. The same mindset that he had against AJ last year at Survivor Series, that we all assumed that it's Brock Lesnar going to the match. He's going to do his Brock thing of hit a couple suplexes, F5, get out of there. But last year's match against AJ, you could clearly tell that he respected AJ enough to be like, let's tell an amazing story in the ring. And they really did. Like, he sold for AJ. They told him a great story. And I really hope that this will be the same situation where Brock respects Daniel Bryan enough to realize that Daniel Bryan is like a legend in this business enough that the two of us can put on a great match that is going to be spoken about for years to come. You know what I mean?
I couldn't agree with you more, Tyler. And the one,
and again, it's a hope. Yeah. It's really a hope. It's not a guarantee. Yeah. It's a hope.
Because here's the one hang up, if I'm going to play devil's advocate, is that we know that Brock is training for a UFC fight. Like, it's clear just like looking at him. He has been changing in appearance every time we've seen him over the past few months. And the idea is that maybe he's not willing to take as many bumps right now because he doesn't want to risk injuring himself before that.
Yes.
So that could prevent him from wanting to do too much. But I think they could do something amazing in 10 minutes or less. And I think if if Daniel has this plan that was map based and confusing, then that sounds safer for Brock than being like, let's have Braun Strowman throw you around. If you know, like, I think that they could do something really interesting that's unconventional in a wrestling sense. It might feel more like an 80s match, honestly, where like there are very clear, like physical acting bits, like all over it. I'm really excited for it. I think this could be the main event just because it's hard to follow these two, even especially if it is short, like putting like a 10-minute thing at the end and letting people just go nuts. Yeah. I feel like is a really good move.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how much time do you think this gets?
I think it's 11 minutes.
11 minutes exactly. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. 11:11, I'll say, because I'm wishing that it goes that long.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would hope for 15, but yeah, I mean, I think that's fair.
15, although, would be like a marathon for Brock at this point.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Oh, wow. We are already at the 5-minute segment, and we have 6 of the 8 matches left to discuss.
I'm going to be honest. I think that's totally fair, given the rest of this card.
Yeah. So I'm going to quickly run us through some of this stuff. Intercontinental Champion Seth Rollins is going to face U.S. Champion Shinsuke Nakamura. I think this is the first time they've ever wrestled each other, if I'm correct.
Yes.
I hope this gets 30 minutes and they just let them go out and wrestling clinic.
Talk about a pipe dream.
Yeah, this should open the show, unless one of the 5-person matches has to go.
Yes. I think this on paper is an incredible match. Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura is that could be a main event anywhere. I think that I hope they get at least, you know, 10-15 minutes to tell a decent story. I'm curious
about, I think they will.
Yeah, I'm curious about the story that they will tell, given that Rollins is in the middle of a very heated feud with Dean Ambrose. And Shinsuke is just kind of floundering right now. He doesn't really, he's not in the middle of a feud on SmackDown. He's just kind of there sitting as the United States champion. So I think it's interesting to see what kind of story they want to tell in the ring. I'd be willing to put money on the fact that that Dean Ambrose is going to insert himself in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though Shinsuke is one of the two people in this match, he really is playing third billing to the looming aura of Dean Ambrose,
exactly,
burning his shield jacket next to his red car. By the way, did you see after that promo on Raw that they acknowledged that Renee is married to him, kinda?
So they've been like kind of hinting at it, but never to the extent that they, I guess, really need to comment on it. So like on the recent episode of Raw, I think they hit on it the most abruptly, and the fact that, like, I think they asked Renee essentially.
Michael,
like,
Cole's line was amazing.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
You know him better than anyone else.
And I think she said something to the effect of, like, I don't know what's going on with him. But
yep. I don't know if she knew that he was going to say that. She certainly seemed like she didn't want to answer in a way that destroyed kayfabe. Yeah. I also want to know what someone who didn't know that they were married thought when Michael Cole was like, you know better than anyone else, and then being like, I wonder why.
I think my take on it is that they either need to embrace it fully or just, like, don't ever speak of it, like, because they're kind of like in this weird in between right now where you either need to embrace it fully and, like, make it part of the storyline, have them asking Renee on commentary, be like, what is Dean doing? Like, what's going through his mind? Like, why is he acting this way? Like, what did you talk to him about this morning? Like, you know, like, really try to get information from her, or just literally don't reference it in any aspect. I think it needs to be one or the other. This whole, like, middle ground is, like, kind of weird.
I think the longer that this storyline goes on, it's probably more likely that they pull Renee in.
Yeah.
Moving on, we got 3 Survivor Series style matches. I'm going to run through them really fast. We've got the men's Survivor Series match where Team Raw is Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Bobby Lashley with Baron Corbin facing Team SmackDown, which is The Miz, Shane McMahon, Rey Mysterio, Jeff Hardy, and Samoa Joe. Then we've got the female match, which is Team Raw, Mickie James, Nia Jax, Tamina, Natalya, and Ruby Riott with a whole slew of people, including Alexa Bliss, versus Team SmackDown, which is Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, Asuka, and TBA. And then there's a tag team one, too. TBA. Because why not have a tag team one? So Team Raw is Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, The Revival, The B-Team, Lucha House Party, and The Ascension versus Team SmackDown, which is The Usos, The New Day, The Club, Sanity, and The Colognes still on the roster. So let me ask you, Tyler, are you excited for any one of these matches in particular more than the other?
Oh, man, this is genuinely tough. It's unfortunate that we're at Survivor Series and literally the matches I'm least excited for are these Survivor Series style matches of like team versus team. And so let's from the top, we have the men's match Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. I'm in a weird way, this is already very soured for me, just that Shane McMahon is like automatically entered into the match, which he was the previous year, maybe even the year before, if my memory serves correct.
Yeah. Four people from last year's match are in the match again this year. And it is him, Finn, Braun, and Joe, maybe? There's four of them. Four of the ten from last year are in it this year.
It's genuinely hard for me to care about these matches. I think in terms of the storyline, I think for the men's match, it makes the most sense for the Raw men's team to win, given just the stature of their participants compared to the SmackDown team. But I think in terms of storyline, given the other matches with the women's SmackDown team versus the women's Raw team, the SmackDown tag teams versus the Raw tag teams, I think it makes more sense that the SmackDown side is going to favor better in the ladder matches rather than the men's match with Team SmackDown versus Team Raw. I think Raw is going to take the advantage in that one.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that the TBA in the women's match will probably be whoever loses between Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler on the night before NXT War Games.
You think we're going to have a call-up?
Yeah. Hmm. I kind of, because that's a two out of three falls match between the two of them, and they've had a few pay-per-view matches with each other now. Okay. So I feel like it's going to be a definitive end, and then one of them is going to go up. That War Games card is also awesome. We don't have time to go through it because our timer already went off. go watch War Games. Also, there's AOP versus The Bar and Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali. I imagine one of those is going to be on a pre-show. Which one do you think gets it?
Potentially both, honestly.
Yeah, everyone's a winner. So that is all the time we had on our rundown. But I will say that there's only four matches on NXT TakeOver War Games. So yes. I think all of them are going to get at least 20 minutes, which is really exciting. So I highly implore everyone to watch that on Saturday night.
Yes, as NXT usually does.
Yeah. We got two new segments we're going to do in our preview real fast before signing off, since we have made it a year in now. First, I want to go through a little thing called Actively Inactive. So I want to list all the people who are not injured but are not on the Survivor Series card, and I'll let you think about how good of a show you can make out of these bits and parts. And I'll start with the seven or eight former world champions to begin with.
Wow.
So currently not on the show, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Dean Ambrose, although we've talked that he will definitely be showing up, Kurt Angle, Jinder Mahal, Bray Wyatt, Elias, Andrade Cien Almas, Rusev, Aiden English, Bayley, Sasha Banks, the iconic duo, Mandy Rose, Lana, Zelina Vega, Alicia Fox, Ember Moon, Dana Brooke, R-Truth, Shelton Benjamin, Apollo Crews, Kurt Hawkins, Heath Slater, Mojo Rawley, No Way Jose, Rhino, Titus O'Neil, Tyler Breeze, and Zack Ryder.
Whew.
It's a lot of people. I'm kind of most, I can't believe that not Bayley, Sasha, or Ember are in the Raw Women's Survivor Series team.
True.
Although there's a very heel-centric team, so maybe they were just trying
Yes. I think the Raw Women's team is extremely heel-centric, given the storyline of Alexa Bliss being the captain and getting to choose who's going to be on the team. Yeah. I think it's genuinely, like, it's unfortunate that Bayley and Sasha Banks are not more prominent in this. I think they are huge staples in the women's division that are just not being utilized right now.
Yeah, I think there is a long-term plan for them, but it's just taking longer to
I really
get it
hope
started,
so because it's like they've been floundering for a very long time. I think many people would agree the Bayley versus Sasha feud that they had, and then they came together, and now they're a tag team, but like it still doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So I'm very curious about that.
My guess is that it's them versus Lita and Trish for women's tag titles at WrestleMania, would be my guess.
Would you think Lita and Trish, or maybe like the Iconics?
Maybe them. I just know that Lita and Trish are staying around till WrestleMania.
That is true, yeah.
So that makes the most sense to put them in a tag match and make other people look good. But there's a lot of time between now and WrestleMania.
Yeah.
There's not as much time between now and the end of the show, but we got one more thing
We've learned in the last week, a lot can happen in a very short amount of time.
That's true. But what kind of things are different a year out? So last year on the preview for the show, I just want to play this clip of something that we said. The title change from last week was a legitimate shock to people, and I think we don't know if it was something planned storyline-wise or if it is a reaction to the low ticket sales of the Indian tour. We'll know for sure depending on if Ginger shows up in this match. I think if he's not in there, then they really it was a reactionary moment.
It was a reactionary thing, and honestly, I think...
Yeah.
If we don't see his face like on the card at in any aspect, I don't know. Yeah. I could see him very easily disappearing in the mid card somewhere. And goodbye, Ginger.
Tyler, do you stick by those comments? Do you think that you predicted that well?
I mean, I think the evidence speaks for itself. Ginger,
that we're not going to see
buried.
His face on this show.
Ginger just got buried on a throwaway segment on Raw, so unfortunately.
Not as much difference in a year in this particular case. Well, that is all the time we have tonight. Tyler, do you have some stuff you want to plug? Was the Turbo Mansion rehearsal good?
It was good. So we are recording this on Wednesday night. Wednesdays are our general band practice. We've been running through some stuff. I'm going to say we got a few new songs that we're working on. We are working on our potential second album coming out eventually.
Ooh.
At some point. But mm-hmm. We have a few new songs on it. It's all sounding really good. We're very proud of it. Keep listening. We'll keep you posted about any new updates.
Wonderful. I will remind you all that if you want us to answer your questions in the Kayfabe 5000 in our normal episodes, then submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or on Twitter at adowrestling, or you can email them to us directly, muchadowrestling@gmail.com. So as always, we're going to leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
Dig it.
Ooh, you had a good coming down on that one. A good dissension. Opposite of the ascension.